We're focusing still on Lebanon, and our next guest was born and bred in South Africa, but her umbilical cord culturally very much still attached to South Africa. Her DNA, though, and blood is that of Lebanese. And in showing solidarity with Lebanon and what's happening to the people of Beirut, I recorded an interview earlier with the veteran journalist and Morning Live anchor Leanne Manis, who is, of course, of Lebanese descent, as I've just told you. I began by asking her if, of course, she knows anyone there who's affected by this and really what news she is hearing about what's happening in Lebanon.
Something out of Armageddon or some nuclear explosion. I mean, that's what it looked like in the beginning. But then, of course, you know, all the storms came out, and then it was a sudden rush to try and get hold of people that we knew that were living there, people that family, especially my mother's family, a lot of her family, still lives in Lebanon and in Beirut. And, you know, in the beginning, to try and get hold of anybody was a massive, massive problem. But we've managed to reach the majority of them. And you know, what I would say is their houses, their apartments, their businesses are all but destroyed. They are now having to obviously start all over again, and many of them are older. Many of them are young. That, you know, they, especially the youth, that feel, you know, there is no future for them there. It's absolutely devastating. I think all of them explaining that even living through a civil war, many of them being there the whole time, educated, then starting businesses, getting through it, and now having to go through this again. I'm just not sure that the resilience is there anymore. So it's so sad to see what happened to that country.
Yeah, how much can people take, right? I mean, once known as the Paris of the Orient, I mean, Beirut once had so much potential and, as you say, has survived so many things. One of the big crises they're facing, of course, is the issue of corruption, which we know all too well in this country. And the idea that, in fact, much of this could have been prevented, this ammunition that was clearly stored there so unsafely, they were warned about, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is the reality, is the warnings are there. The warnings, the signs are there. Everything, this did not happen by mistake. You know, this happened because of pure negligence, as we've been hearing all of the time. We're still waiting for the ultimate findings. But then again, unfortunately, just like we are dependent on the government investigating the government, they're doing exactly the same. The government is investigating the government. And do you ever find the truth? I mean, we can take our example. Unfortunately, no. We're still waiting for any finding or anyone to be held accountable. And they are in exactly the same position now, trying to find someone to hold accountable. You know, this whole incident has really run so much more true for me than it would have in previous years, because I've only been to Lebanon twice in my life. The first time was in the early 90s, and that was a real eye-opener for me because, you know, they had just come out of a civil war. We as a country were going into a democracy, and, you know, things were changing here and things were changing there. I would visit the family in Beirut, and they were, you know, I would go into their apartment and have a look at those mortar bomb holes that were still going through their apartments, and they hadn't even fixed it up yet. It's pretty much so just putting a painting over it. Now, fast forward to last year. I went there last year, in whatever month it was, June or July last year, just before the protests started happening. And what a country. You know, they had built it up. It was looking amazing. There was, of course, that underlying corruption and that anger towards the government that I kept on hearing and kept on scaring me, because we shared similar sentiments. And here we are this year, and it's frightening.
And of course, as the death toll mounts, it's and also understood that food insecurity may soon become an issue, with so much of the country's grain around ground zero where the explosion happened. A lot of those grain silos now destroyed.
Yeah, and that, I mean, one of the other things that is important to note is that they are so dependent on imports. And, I mean, I'm going to throw a percentage at you. I'm not an economist, but, you know, figures of around 90% of everything they consume inside the country is imported, and it comes through the ports. Now, the port is destroyed. Everything that was stored there is destroyed. There was talk already during, after the whole political instability and after all the protests and after the coronavirus hit them, that a famine was coming in and that so many of the citizens were going through that. And now you talk about the grain silos. What is going to happen? It's frightening. And, you know, the other aspect of it is the amount of refugees that live within Lebanon. I think it's the one country that have accepted the same amount of, it's almost equal citizens, equal refugees.
Wow.
Which in itself is a very difficult problem to handle as well.
Leanne Manis, good luck to you and your family and anybody you know in Lebanon. And we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us this morning.
Thanks very much, Bongani. Take care of yourself as well.